from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Rachel Gordon, filling in today for Dave Iverson. It's bigger than the Super Bowl and certainly blows away the World Series. America's Cup, the world's top yachting event, only ranks behind World Cup soccer and the Olympics in international sporting world popularity. And San Francisco is eager to get in on the action. San Francisco is the only city in the U.S. left competing to host the 34th America's Cup, a series of yacht races to be held in 2013 or 14 that boosters say could pump more than $1.4 billion into the Bay Area economy. We're going to hear from backers of the bid and from skeptics about the potential benefits, pitfalls, and challenges of bringing the renowned regatta to the San Francisco Bay. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Rachel Gordon, filling in today for Dave Iverson. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom made crystal clear this week that he wants the city to go all out to land the next America's Cup competition, the yachting event that delivers prestige and an economic boon to the host city. This week, his administration announced that it will be seeking exemptions from the state's time-consuming environmental review requirements in order to meet a tight deadline that race organizers imposed. They want to know what waterfront facilities the city will offer up for the regatta. City officials and business leaders say the rush is needed to keep San Francisco's bid afloat, but environmentalists aren't keen on bypassing the stringent review process. Joining us to talk about what's at stake are Carrie McClellan, the America Cup's project manager for the city. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you.
Michael Endicott, representing Sierra Club, California. Thank you, Michael, for being here.
Good morning.
Rob Grant, racing editor for Latitude 38. It's a magazine that's focused on sailing in Northern California.
Hello.
Hi, Rob. And Peter Stoneberg, rear commodore of the St. Francis Yacht Club. Carrie, let's start with you right now. Why is the city really pushing forward at this point? It's a six-week deadline we're looking at now to get the plan together. That seems pretty quick.
It is. We are putting every possible resource we can bring to bear. It's a very competitive situation, and this is a huge economic opportunity for San Francisco. So we're solving for a number of things to remain competitive. Not only do we need to deliver the shoreside facilities, we need to bring broad corporate support and community support to this effort, and as much possible certainty about what we can deliver on September 30th. And working with a number of groups, including the environmental community, we're trying to bring certainty to the process.
Okay, but this deadline, we're looking at the end of September for this. Now, this is put on by the team that's the defending team in the racing world is BMW Oracle Racing. That's Larry Ellison's team here. Why September? I mean, people are saying that's just, why so fast? We've known this is coming for a long time. Why do you have to put it together? Why can't you take your time and do it right?
Sure. Well, Mr. Allison and the BMW Oracle team sail for the Golden Gate Yacht Club. And as the defender, they are the trustees of the Cup. And they are trying to put on an America's Cup competition that includes consultation with the other syndicates. And as part of that vision, sort of a new era, if you will, and I'll defer to the others in the room who are more knowledgeable about the history of the Cup, but he's really trying to do this in a collaborative way and aggressively define when it will be and where it will be so that those other teams know and can create plans and programs that make them as competitive as possible. Okay. So moving up the date, they have continued to maintain they will make a decision by the end of the year, but in order to evaluate San Francisco's proposal with what Italy and Spain are putting on the table, they want to know with great certainty, and they want us to have taken through the Board of Supervisors with endorsement that which we can deliver.
Okay, can you give us a brief synopsis of what San Francisco is looking at, what facilities, what piers, seawalls, what? Give us the basics
sure.
of what the plan will be.
There's two pieces to this. One is the race itself, which would be inside the Golden Gate, between the Golden Gate and, say, Alcatraz, which would allow for viewers really 360 degrees from Crissy Field, Golden Gate, the headlands, Alcatraz, the water, the shoreline, skyscrapers, you know, you name it, which will be revolutionary in terms of the Cup. So the entire northern waterfront will be populated along the lines of Fleet Week or the Moët Cup that was here in 2003. The shoreside facilities, which would be the other part, would be south of the Bay Bridge. So we're looking at 3032, the adjacent seawall lot, and a number of the piers heading down to the other sort of anchor, if you will, which would be Pier 50, which is where the race syndicate facilities would be. And if anyone knows that area, currently Pier 3032 is crumbling into the bay. It's been red tagged. KFOG Kaboom used to be there. The X Games used to be there. It's now a parking lot that does generate some revenue for the port, but it's falling in the bay. And this is an opportunity to capitalize really something that only comes along maybe once in a lifetime and transform those back into public assets. And that's really what our motivation is.
Okay, and the state environmental reviews are needed to do what? To see what it would mean to rebuild these piers out into the water? Is that the big issue there?
Yeah, well, it's process and knowing that we can deliver these facilities in a time that works for the team in order for them to begin the pre-regatta series that they want to have and ultimately have the Challenger Series and the full America's Cup in 2014. And the Associated Environmental Review has impacts to what endorsements and what approvals we can bring before the Board of Supervisors, which we need to do in September, as well as looking at, the uses. And we should note that Piers 3032 and Seawall Lot 330 went through a full environmental review and entitlement process previously for a passenger cruise ship terminal. And the uses that are going to be proposed at those sites, we believe, would be much less intensive than the passenger cruise ship terminal, but would have the upside of making the near-term improvements to that site and, again, returning it to be a public asset.
Okay, I'd like to go to Michael Endicott, who's the advocate for Sierra Club California. Now, Michael, tell us why it's so important to have, in your view, to have kind of the full throttle of environmental reviews. What do you think we might find out, or what issues do we need to really pay attention to?
Thank you very much. I'll give you three quick bullets as to why CEQA is important and why also an approach to a statewide exemption is not a good way
CEQA,
to go.
And CEQA, can you just refresh us?
Yeah. It's a California. CEQA is the California Environmental Quality Act. And I just think this is the wrong tack to go to Sacramento to try and change CEQA and get an exemption. And I think it can be done in time that we can comply with this, especially if they keep the environmental crew on board with them. CEQA has three very important basic functions. First, it creates a really accurate project description. So we're all talking about the same thing. This project's being divided up into a bunch of pieces and actually can affect three generations of people up to 75 years. Second, it's identification of potential significant environmental impacts up front so that we can mitigate them or say why we're not doing it. This is a very different project from a cruise ship terminal. Third, it also assures that the people that will be most affected by the local land use decision get a voice in the matter, and that's here locally. When you go to Sacramento to seek an exemption from CEQA, you do three very bad things. You deprive local people from weighing in on the decision and commenting on the project. It is very difficult to craft legislation, particularly at this very end of the year when you don't have time to make amendments if you do it wrong, and you cast it into stone, things that you do not intend to do. And third, this privatizes government in a very bad way, in that after this, going forward, it puts the decisions of a private entity in front of the decisions of the public entities, and it creates distrust. So I hope that they do not actually introduce this legislation, and then I hope that we can all work on board. I've been a sailor, I just want to say, since 1979 on the Bay, and I think it would be a great thing to have here.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit, when we're talking about environmental considerations, you think of yachting, sailing, that what a nice thing. It doesn't, it's wind driven on the whole. But are we talking about the environmental impacts on the shore with parking and traffic? Are we talking about noise? Are we talking about light? Is it everything?
All of those things are potential items. It will have those effects of what are you doing with traffic and people on shore and everything? How are you going to handle that? Where are you going to put these facilities? The project description, and I appreciate the fact actually the city reached out to us, so we've had the beginning of a dialogue of what that project is. But I think actually the syndicates and Larry Ellison's idea of exactly what they want on shore, even for the pre-races, has not been formed fully yet. And I think the city doesn't know what it wants exactly fully yet, so it can cast it into legislation. And we understand also that there are other elements, and we want to be able to separate out what's the near term and long term, because there are leases involved in this. There's other things that we are just finding out now. And so we need to have all that on the table so we can see it. And if you do CEQA, then you actually get that there, you build the trust, and I'm sure we'd be willing to work with them to make sure that it's as fast as possible to review.
What does fast as possible mean? Because in government parlance, fast as possible can mean years sometimes. CEQA is not usually a quick process. Is there a way that you could do this quickly going through the regulatory process as it's already on the books?
CEQA is a very fast statute. And actually, if they've done an environmental review that's relevant to the project description, you can use that information in a new environmental review. You can do mitigated neg decks if that's the case, and depending on how you describe the project and how clear it is. But all of those things need to be crafted very carefully and can't be put into legislation. Even if you're doing an environmental review, it can be done in less than a year. But what apparently we're hearing is they need certainty. They need to know that we can't say anything, stop anything, sue anything, no matter what it is that they do, because that's the only way you can give real certainty. And what they're offering up is, in exchange for our environmental laws, is apparently to match up against very large cash offers from other countries.
Carrie, when did the city find out about this September 30th deadline? Is it something that you've known might be coming for a while, or did it really just pop up quickly?
Really, in the last few weeks, we meet with a team. We're in contact with them daily, but we sit down and meet with them. They're based over in Spain presently, where the last America's Cup was held. And when they were here last, about a week ago, we really put definition on what it was they wanted delivered on September 30th. And part of that is a host city agreement. And something similar to the LA Olympics, which is an exemption that was obtained, granted, a few decades ago, but the framework exists in the law, would allow. So if we sought an exemption similar to the existing one for the LA Olympics, if we were allowed to enter into binding agreements in our host city agreement, that would provide more certainty. If we were not allowed to do that, the Board of Supervisors would only be able to endorse. This is an important distinction for the team because they feel that taking the approval action on the host city agreement would bring greater certainty to the bid versus just having the board to endorse it. So that theme came up in our last meeting with them, really, about a week and a half ago. And we're trying to identify those paths by which we can, really make strong commitments. And the board, as you well know, they're well positioned to support us. You know, when was the last time the San Francisco Board of Supervisors had an 11-0 vote on a project and something of this importance where they all came together? And so we're optimistic with their support, BCDC support, MTC support for bringing the America's Cup to San Francisco, that if we're thoughtful and remain engaged with the environmentalists, we can come up with something that would be palatable.
Okay, let's just back up a little bit because I think a lot of people have no idea what BCDC is.
Okay, so, good point.
And MTC.
The Bay Conservation and Development Commission.
I just wanted to test you.
Thank you. The state agency that oversees development on the San Francisco Bay, and we've been working with them. MTC is the Metropolitan Transportation Commission.
Okay, you get 100% for both of them.
All right. My mom's going to be so proud. These are important regional organizations and state entities that have an important role in the development of the waterfront. And they want to leverage this opportunity to showcase the Bay to the world. We will bring the entire eyes, not only of the sailing community, but the sporting community, because this undertaking, the America's Cup, is the third largest event behind the Olympics and the World Cup.
Okay, let me just talk about San Francisco and process a little bit. Michael, you brought up the concern that when will the public have a chance to weigh in when there's this kind of abbreviated timeline to do this? We saw what happened just recently with a waterfront project, put some two bocce ball courts near the ferry building, that the whole thing blew up quickly on that. This is a much larger project, much bigger impact potentially on San Francisco. Are there any assurances coming from City Hall, from the mayor's office, that this isn't something that's going to be rammed through, that the public will get a chance to participate in some way this race?
Absolutely. It's a good question. I should say Mayor Newsom has created a framework for this undertaking to make it as collaborative and aggressive and competitive as possible. So since day one, we've gone out to engage with policy and stakeholder groups. I mentioned a few. I've also just recently been with the South Beach, Rincon Hill, Mission Bay Neighborhood Association, having invited by them to come and talk about what the city's doing. And we had a very productive and engaging conversation. They're excited about having this in their neighborhood. So in addition to the host city agreement that we'll be taking to the Board of Supervisors, which will be heard likely in policy committee as well as by the full board, that will be the first opportunity to discuss the scope of the undertaking and the city's proposal. Additionally, there are vast amounts of permitting, and I'm not going to go through all the acronyms on that front, but the Army Corps of Engineering, the Barrier Walk, Bay Area Water Quality Management District, just a whole host.
There are almost a dozen, aren't there?
At least, that have jurisdiction over the implementation of waterfront projects. So when we go and seek permits from these entities, there is a very public process, again at the Board of Supervisors, again at the Port Commission, at the Rec and Park Commission, where the pieces that are relevant to those jurisdictions will have public process around them. So even without what we're still negotiating with the environmental groups and talking with the state leadership about in terms of CEQA, there's a lot of process yet ahead of us.
Okay, and we'll get to what the race is in a moment, but Michael Endicott from the Sierra Club California, does that appease you? Is that good enough if you have to go through that many steps at other regulatory bodies for
this
project?
Well, some of those steps actually key off of the CEQA document. BCDC, for instance, has, the Bay Conservation Development Commission, has only 90 days to review a permit, and if they don't get it done in that time, it's automatically approved. They usually rely on the environmental information that's gathered as part of the CEQA process. So what you're doing is you're handcuffing them, and you're telling everybody, then telling us and the local folks that you're going to have a full discussion, but you're not going to have the underlying documents or a clear understanding of that process. CEQA is actually very efficient and very quick, and it gets everything up on the table at once. And that's the point, is that when you go to Sacramento and you exempt a local project that's a private project from CEQA, then you change all the rules in the game. You create a lot of mistrust. And already my local chapter has voted against the project based on what they first heard. And I mean, to do this through this, not against the project. Actually, I think all of us would be enthusiastic crew members and would love to stay on board. But this also has ramifications for the future. This deal is not just about the race by 2014, apparently. There are other components that go out 75 years. Why would you poison the waters and start it this way? You want us on board for the whole development project down into the future.
Okay, Carrie, you want to
Well, I just want to interject, and part of it was that I think there's been some speculation around what is being considered. We've never suggested that any future development would be exempted from CEQA. This would only, should it move forward, and that is also remains to be a question mark. And ultimately, Mayor Newsom will need to make those decisions. But we never were proposing to exempt any future development along the waterfront from any CEQA or entitlement processes. So I just want to be unequivocal about that.
Okay, and let me ask you, though, with the deadline that's coming up for you to get something done in Sacramento. We know the end of September. You're shopping around right now, aren't you, for a sponsor who's going to carry this request for the CEQA exemption? Or have you found someone? Can you tell us today?
It remains a fluid situation. You know, every day a piece of this changes, and all I can tell you is we remain committed to working with the Sierra Club, the Planning and Conservation League, our delegation in Sacramento, which is very supportive. We've been working with Leno, Ma, Yi, Amiano on various pieces of this, and until the legislative session is over, all of this will remain in flux.
And that's over pretty quickly, isn't it, in a couple of weeks?
August 31st.
Okay, so you really are under the gun on this one.
Backs against the wall, and we're doing the best we can.
Okay, I want to go in a little bit about what the America's Cup race is. For those of us who have not been big yacht racing enthusiasts, although I might be after listening to the show, it sounds pretty exciting. Can you tell us, Rob Grant, you're the racing editor for Latitude 38, just a little bit about the importance of this, the significance of it, why people are so hyped up about America's Cup?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's the oldest trophy in sports worldwide. And the names that have been associated with it throughout its history are some of the, more cached names in American and European history. Names like
Oprah.
Thomas Lipton. No, not Oprah. It'd be great if she'd get involved, but Thomas Lipton and Harold Vanderbilt, Larry Ellison, Ernesto Bergarelli.
Tell me a little bit of why this race is so exciting to watch. I mean, you think they're boats on the water racing against each other. Can you really see that as a spectator? Is it something that's
Absolutely.
More exciting for the people who are actually doing the racing?
No, it's extremely fun to watch. I mean, it's you don't need to have a full technical appreciation for what's gone into the design and build of the boats. You don't have to know who the major players are, because when it comes down to it, there's two boats racing against each other, and you are basically watching these two boats go at it. There's nobody else to be concerned about, and they get close. They're big. You get closer than you do driving down Van Ness to get here with the car next to you.
So kind of like basketball, you can elbow each other and try to push them in the water? Or how does that work?
All but the contact.
Right. Tell me a little bit, though. It's not just two boats. Right? There are a lot of qualifying races as well, right?
Exactly. The ultimate match for the America's Cup will always be between the defender and the person that has won the right to challenge for the cup. There will be a challenger series, most likely, because there will most likely be multiple challengers in order to determine who that is. And that could be any number of teams. I mean, it could be the team that's a challenger of record, which is Mascalzone Latino, Vincenzo Onorato, he's Italian. It could be his team, or it could be any of the other challengers that are there. So there's a lot of build up to the event, in the sense that there's a lot of drama and tension to see all these teams that have spent all this time and all this money to get to that point, who actually gets to meet the defender.
Okay, Peter Stoneberg, you're the rear commodore at the St. Francis Yacht Club. Let me bring you into this discussion. What is it about San Francisco Bay, in your opinion, that makes it so special? Why would the race be different here than anywhere else?
Well, I think primarily it's because of the natural amphitheater that San Francisco provides, and also the consistent wind that we get that kicks in every afternoon at 12:30 on the dot in San Francisco Bay in the summertime. The last time that there was a really, really great America's Cup was in Perth, Australia, that really captured the imagination of the whole world, and people were getting up at 3 in the morning to watch it. And the reason for that is that they had very strong wind, very big waves, and had very exciting racing for anyone watching. It was a little bit like the difference between NASCAR and Formula One, where Formula One is very much a technical sport, and NASCAR is a little more about bumping and grinding and exciting watching the race itself. I won't equate the America's Cup necessarily to NASCAR, but the wind that we get in San Francisco every day will make it a very exciting spectator sport. It also makes it very easy for television and media, in that one of the problems that exists in Valencia, Spain, Auckland, New Zealand, Italy, is that the winds are not as consistent, and so TV can never plan on starting at 12:30 in the afternoon because you've got race delays and things like that.
How is it just being in the yachting world, in the sailing world? Like, you get with Harding Golf Course in San Francisco, when it got the U.S. Open, people were excited. They got to play where Tiger Woods played. I don't know if you really want to use his name right now, but I will, because that's a golfer I know.
Right.
But for sailors to say, wow, I got to sail on the bay where the America's Cup yacht race was. How important is that?
That is important, and it certainly brings the visibility of the athletic world, sailing world, to San Francisco. And for kids to be able to learn to sail on Treasure Island or in Oakland or in Marin County, and then be able to walk in the steps of Russell Coutts and Paul Caillard and others that are America's Cup sailors, it's a great way to get kids into a very environmentally friendly green sport, very open to everyone in the community.
Okay. We'd also like to hear from our listeners, if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion about San Francisco's bid to bring the America's Cup race here, be in 2013 or 2014, you can call us at 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org, or you can visit our website, kqed.org/forum, and add your comments and questions there. We're going to also talk about what the race impact might be on the city's economy when we get back, really the Bay Area's economy. Joining us for the discussion again are Michael Endicott of the Sierra Club California, Rob Grant, racing editor for Latitude 38, Carrie McClellan, project manager for the Mayor's Office of Economic Development and Workforce Development, and Peter Stoneberg, rear commodore of the St. Francis Yacht Club. I'm Rachel Gordon. Be sure to come back and listen to us on the next part of our show. Welcome back to Forum. If you're just joining us, we're talking about San Francisco's bid to land the America's Cup races here in 2013 or 2014. Joining us in the studio are Michael Endicott. He's the advocate for Sierra Club California, Rob Grant, racing editor for Sally magazine Latitude 38, Kerry McClellan, project manager for the Mayor's Office of Economic and Workforce Development, and Peter Stoneberg. He's a rear commodore of the St. Francis Yacht Club. We've got a number of callers who are interested in weighing in on this. Just a real recap of what's going on. San Francisco is trying to get an exemption from state environmental reviews to move this project forward quickly, although city officials say that there are going to be plenty of opportunities for the public and other regulatory agencies to weigh in. Environmentalists are a little bit wary of that. Let's go to our first caller, Robert in San Francisco. Welcome to Forum, Robert.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a Sierra Club member. I also sail on the bay, and I think to have America's Cup here would be a wonderful opportunity. My question is, since America's Cup itself has minimal or negligible environmental impact, if it would be possible to separate that from the more permanent development which is being envisioned along the bay, essentially have like a two-track process.
Can anyone talk about that on the environmental impacts on the bay?
Well, what I would say to
Kerry McClellan from the mayor's office.
Yeah. Well, our concept in terms of seeking certainty is for the America's Cup facilities. So what we're contemplating in terms of legislation would only cover the facilities related to the America's Cup. Any future development would still be covered. So I think to the caller's point, that is our approach.
Can that be written in, guaranteed somewhere in writing, in codified in legislation, that that is the city's intent and it will not go beyond that?
Yes, and that's part of what we're discussing right now with the environmental groups. How do we accomplish that? How do we allow enough confidence that would transpire?
Okay. Michael Endicott from California Sierra Club, is there a way the city can get your confidence?
No, that's the problem. In trying to cast, remember, statutory language up in Sacramento is very difficult to craft, especially when the project description itself is still in flux. They haven't picked actually the type of boat, whether it's multi-hull or single hull, how many boats and actual facilities they think they want to have. That's why the project description is so important. And if in the CEQA process, there is this thing called a mitigated neg declaration, which can be done quite quickly. You can even do a full-blown EIR process in barely a year. The city has done it before, where there's a can-do attitude and everybody's together. But this is the difficulty. We don't actually know what the actual project description is. And you could break the project into a discrete piece if that's really what it is and it's not connected to everything else, and actually focus on that part. But it's not just about sailing on the bay. They envision some things that are temporary structures, like an X Games might be, which you could totally remove. And then they also envision some things that are actually going to be built out into the bay. And so all of those are different pieces. Whether they're part of the necessary description or not, that's what you need for discussion. Statutory language does not have that flexibility to craft, whereas if we had more time here, we could do it if everybody has the right will, and that's what you can negotiate. But you have to do that here at the local level. You can't do it by exempting the project from CEQA.
Okay, Robert, is your question answered?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling. We have an email from David in Berkeley. Here's a pretty quick to the point. I think he's talking about a little head knocking. He's going, I'm all in favor of an EIR, so get it done. This is a great opportunity. Work together instead of creating barriers or trying to go around it. Kerry McClellan, you are talking about reaching out at this point. What more do you think you could do?
Look, we're going to continue to negotiate and work with the environmental community, and we're heartened, as is the team, by the unequivocal support for bringing the America's Cup to San Francisco and showcasing the Bay. And what we're going to continue to do is stay at the table, continue to talk with them, not only for the next days and weeks to the end of the legislative session, but throughout this process. And that, I think, is the best we can do.
Okay.
Stay at the table. Keep talking.
All right. And let me ask you, just go back finally with the project description that Michael Endicott's wanting. When will we see that? I mean, is it going to be a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, a year? When will we know the real details?
Right. As part of the host city agreement that will be going before the Board of Supervisors, we will identify the facilities and how they will be used to support the America's Cup undertaking, specifically the shoreside facilities, 3032, some of the other piers just north of south of that, and Pier 50. And we will do our best to articulate it based on the team's vision to date. You know, while Mr. Ellison and the team won in February, and since then There's been a process of looking at what would be available in San Francisco and how their vision with bringing people to this event, not only for the on the water but the shoreside elements as well, continues to evolve as we evaluate what it is we could deliver in a timely fashion.
Let's talk a little bit about Larry Ellison and the BMW Oracle Racing Yacht. What is he about, and what is his boat about, and why is it special? Let's go to you, Bob Grant, from Latitude 38. On this race and him, why is he an exciting guy to watch? What does he bring that others haven't been able to bring, and besides being a Bay Area guy?
He brings a lot of profile. I mean, he's very well known. Obviously, Oracle's very well known. He brings a lot of interest to a lot of people who probably don't know who Ernesto Bertarelli was. Never heard of him. I think, from what I gather, Larry Ellison really loves the sport of sailing. He loves to win. He loves the sport aspect to it. I mean, he's got a day job. He's got to delegate a lot of these responsibilities to other people. But his profile, I think, first and foremost, brings a tremendous amount of attention to the event.
Okay. One of our producers had an interesting question. Is Ellison's boat, the wing, the sail on it, actually taller than Coit Tower? Does anyone know that? It's pretty fascinating.
I don't know about Coit Tower, but it is rumored to be taller than – you couldn't get it under the Golden Gate Bridge without dropping the top section of the wing. And so that can give you some sense of the scale.
Coit Tower's 210 feet. Fun fact for anyone who's listening.
No. It's not that tall. It's a little shy of that. I think it ended up being 187.
Pretty close. They're not going to have to demolish the Golden Gate Bridge or anything, are they?
No, they'll drop it.
Then you really will need environmental reviews.
I think it's important to note, too, that the boats that will be used in the next event won't look at – probably will not look like the boats that you saw this time around.
So what kind of boats are we going to see? Are they going to be single-hull, traditional single-hull boats, or multi-hulled catamaran?
Well, right now it's up in the air. I mean, the team's gone to great lengths to make it clear that they're looking at both options. I think, by and large, most of the potential challengers, would like to see mono-hull boats. But I think there is a very reasoned minority that sees multi-hulls as being really the most exciting and visually appealing type of racing that you could do.
Okay, I want to bring in another caller, though. This is Jay from Oakland. Jay, thanks for joining us. Do you want to know what about the impact of this race?
Not so much the impact, and thank you for having me on. First, a comment and a question. I think this is a Bay Area-wide event, and although I am happy for San Francisco to have the opportunity, I think everyone should look a bit beyond just the city of San Francisco, because I live here in Oakland, and I'm looking forward to this, and if there's a way that the entire interest of the Bay Area could be considered for this, that would be a good thing. But I guess my question is, having been an America's Cup fan for a couple of decades, I'm curious, I'm still not clear about the process. If San Francisco declines or somehow the race can't be in San Francisco, why would it move abroad to a potentially foreign host as opposed to having it in San Diego or Rhode Island, where I believe it's been held in the past in the United States?
Carrie McClellan, maybe you can answer that, but my understanding is that San Francisco now is the only remaining U.S. city, that every other city has been eliminated at this point in the United States from this competition.
That's correct. Just a few weeks ago, the BMW Oracle Racing Team gave San Francisco the designation as the sole U.S. city under consideration. They are also considering proposals from Spain and Italy, maybe even Portugal and France. And San Francisco wanted that designation. It was important for us to be able to take our efforts statewide and nationalize the effort. We're talking with the New York Yacht Club and those folks down in San Diego who also have history with the Cup, and really bringing them and their expertise into this effort. And Mr. Ellison and his team singularly gets to decide where the next America's Cup will be held. And I should add that, we like to think that we can hopefully bring some national pride and attention to the notion of him taking the America's Cup out of America and having this opportunity to have it here and showcase San Francisco would just be exceptional. And can I just come back to the boat and want to emphasize that Mr. Ellison created a marvel of technology to win the 33rd America's Cup. And what he has brought to this effort and what we've seen his team do is try to revolutionize not only the class of boats, but the way spectators engage with the race, and wants to bring independent management. There are all kinds of things that he is trying to accomplish that we think San Francisco and the innovations and being the technology capital of the world will help our bid.
It sounds like you're trying to
vision.
Woo him there, using things like innovative, revolutionary, and all visionary, all those things.
Absolutely. And you know what? We've taken his team to meet with Zynga, to meet with Google, to meet with all of these innovators that are right here in San Francisco Bay Area to try and help him find partnerships that are going to take this sport to the next level.
All right, you're making a good pitch there. I want to go to you, though, Peter Stoneberg. Tell us about Ellison and the Boat. I mean, what going on from what Carrie was saying there of revolutionizing the race. Is this really what he's doing and what this race can, this next upcoming America's Cup can do?
Well, Rachel, I think on two elements. One are the boats, and he's engaged two naval architects, one to do a monohull boat and the other to do a multi-hull. And he also had, the team had in Valencia, Spain 3 weeks ago, a media conference where they had people coming in with different media ideas, different ways to televise, both on traditional media as well as on the internet, ways to make sailboat racing and the America's Cup and match racing more accessible to non-aficionados. And so he's trying to bring technology, certainly bringing the boat design to make it just as exciting as possible to raise the level of enjoyment of the sport to the general public.
Okay, Jay, I want to also thank you for calling. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about the potential economic impact here. There was a large report done, Thick, saying that there's really no reason why San Francisco or another community shouldn't bid on this project because of the potential economic impact. Carrie, this is really a area of expertise for you. They're looking at, what, $1.4 billion, they're saying, that could be pumped into the local economy. And as Jay mentioned, it's not just San Francisco, but this would be Bay Area-wide, regional-wide, and perhaps Northern California, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just under 1.4 if you're looking at the Bay Area, and just over 1.4 if you're going statewide, and 1.9 if you're looking at the national impacts. Along with that is almost 9,000 jobs. And these are infrastructure, retail, hotel, mom-and-pop sandwich shops. You know, folks talk about the America's Cup, you know, possibly this is about billionaires. It's not. It's about busboys here in San Francisco. The opportunity to put these people to work and leverage this to transform our waterfront. It's just unparalleled. So between the jobs and the economic impact that all would be delivered between now and 2014, we're doing everything in our power to be competitive.
Okay, Rob Grant from Latitude 38, let me ask you the economics on the other side, not just how the host community might benefit from it, but there's also the economics of what this might mean to the sailing teams here. And there, it seems that what we're hearing, perhaps, is that Spain and Italy are putting a lot on the table. In Spain, they even give the folks who are participating in the race, I guess, a break on their income tax.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant break. Yeah, I think there was a government decree in Spain that anybody working for an America's Cup team would pay a flat 12% income tax. And for the sailors to come to the United States and be paying, you know, in the 40% range, you know, is decidedly less appealing, especially for, you know, some of these guys are pulling down some pretty significant salaries.
So that could be a real deterrent to getting this race
for the people making the decision. Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious, is there anything that San Francisco is looking to do? We've had tax breaks before, different economic incentives to bring different businesses here. Is that being discussed at this point?
You know, I think because of what we have to put on the table by September 30th, our ability to deliver anything of that nature doesn't bring with it a high level of certainty. We're taking a slightly different tack and reaching out and have been very well received by our corporate community, meeting with Visa, Wells Fargo, URS, PG&E, Cisco on the forefront, Levi's, the Bay Area Council and Chamber of Commerce. You know, we are putting the team in front of our powerhouses and economic engines, if you will, and trying to create the opportunity. I should also mention United Airlines. You know, these businesses that are excited to bring the economic benefits here and see maybe an opportunity for their companies as well. And that's going to help us cross the finish line.
I mean, it's very expensive to run a boat, right? It's not just throwing on some old sneakers and going out there in your holy sweaters. This is an expensive sport for people to participate in, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it takes from the team's perspective, they have to raise the money to pursue these campaigns. And some of them do that, completely commercially with commercial sponsorships, and others do it off the largesse of the people who can afford it. But it is very expensive. And, you know, it's important to keep in mind that for a lot of the sailors, this is their livelihood. I mean, they do it because they love it. But at the same time, it is their livelihood too, and they have families, and, you know, they're trying to do as well for them as they can.
Okay, it seems for a lot of kind of lay people, as myself, that the whole yachting world would be a new one for us. So it would be a way, an opportunity to see a new sport. But I think there's a lot we'd have to learn. I want to go into just kind of some of the nitty gritty about the race. I want to go to one of the callers, Richard from San Mateo. He has a question or a comment about is San Francisco Bay adequate? So, Richard, welcome to Forum. Can we hear from you?
I'm sorry. That wasn't my question. I grew up sailing on the San Francisco Bay.
Okay.
I'm sixth generation, and I've been living in Maine for the last 20 years, sailing actively there. In addition, I've also been serving on planning boards for the last 20 years, which deal with water issues on the coast of Maine. And I also worked in some capacities with the state government there as well. My comment had to do with Mike and the proposition that he has at this point in time. You know, this is an event. It should be a one-time exception. There's no reason for this not to be a one-time exception. He already expressed a statement saying that the local organization has already voted to oppose this. This is just basic power politics. That's all it comes down to, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're not being. They want to be invited to the dance. They want to be able to throw their 2 cents in. Development organizations are like that all the time. I've been gone for 20 years, and as far as the environmental impact of what I've seen now compared to when I left is devastating. So there's a lot of work that's actually not being done. Let's just let this one event go through. I don't think that this exception is going to necessarily wound anybody seriously.
Thank you. And I also want to go weigh in. Thank you for the call. Rich also emailed us. It says something very similar to that. This is the single greatest opportunity for the city of San Francisco to continue the amazing redevelopment that has been done on the waterfront and an amazing boon to the tax coffers. It is hard to imagine how anyone can object to what would be a perfect event for the cosmopolitan city that is San Francisco is. So let me go back to you, Michael Endicott. There's a little ding there from the last caller going, this is just about turf battles. It's just about a power play. Is that part of it?
No, actually, I don't see it that way at all. And I think a good point was raised earlier. Larry Ellison has a day job. So does all the rest of us. And actually, I live in San Francisco in the Hate, and I'd love to see America's Cup here come because I'm a sailor. But the people, if you don't have a job in Sacramento, you can't weigh in on this legislation. And this is about local land use decisions. Every time we pass an exemption to CEQA and take away local land use decisions from the local community, it does damage to them because they don't have a chance to weigh in, and later this casts in stone what's going to happen. For instance, last year, what started this all and what could become a habit now is a football stadium in LA last year. In City of Industry, they came in for a last-minute exemption, got it, said they needed it, partly for the same thing, to make a bid on a football team and get it by February. There's no bid, there's no football team, it's not happening. This isn't guaranteed either. What you want to have is a community that can move forward on all systems, have all your crew on board, and work with them within the law. There is no reason that we can't work within the law here. We don't need to, at every step of the way, make exemptions for private business decisions. And I don't begrudge Larry Ellison making a decision and saying arbitrarily, I need to announce by the end of September. That's their choice. But I would like to think that Larry Ellison has a very strong pride in bringing it to the Bay Area. He's from here. He touts it everywhere. We tout it. It's a perfect scenario. Sure, we want to have a very strong bid, but a very strong bid should not include undoing CEQA, which is a fundamental law about local land use decisions. And this sets a precedent and continues a precedent. It isn't going to be a one-time thing. This will keep happening then for everybody else who wants to get something done because they have to meet a decision that they either didn't think about ahead of time. And there's no reason for that, really.
Okay.
Don't have to do it.
I'd like to go to a caller. David in San Francisco, you also wanted to know about CEQA and really it sounds like what the public can do. What's your question or comment?
Well, it's my understanding, first of all, that CEQA is involving lawsuits that are so complicated the average man can't can't be expected to know, you know, all of the details of the sciences or the engineering or something like that. So I wanted to ask a question about that. But before I did, is it my understanding specifically what you're talking about is whether or not to turn over part of the Presidio to Larry Ellison's private yacht club?
Okay. Carrie McClellan from the mayor's office is shaking her head on that. Can you address that? Are you going to turn the Presidio over to Larry Ellison?
No, we're going to showcase the Presidio by lining Chrissy Field with spectators for the 34th America's Cup on the San Francisco Bay. There are no facilities planned within the Presidio. The waterfront shoreside facilities would be south of the Bay Bridge.
Okay, thank you for your call. I'd also like to look at an email. This is from KC in San Francisco, having more to do with the environmental issues. KC asks, how in the world would sailboats pollute? I support EIR impact reviews. You are introducing terms that many haven't heard, like CEQA, which is a state law, not federal law. But I fail to see how in the sailboats could pollute because it defies all reason. I think we got to that a little bit earlier, that it's not necessarily just the sailboats on the bay, but it's going to be construction that might go along with the facilities, traffic, parking, noise, lights.
That's correct. Breakwaters can actually change current patterns. You can disturb muds that have toxics in it. Actually, some of the stuff that you use as you're painting and shredding, shaving the boat can actually be pollutants. But those are all issues that are easily dealt with, identified, and taken care of if you actually do the environmental review and sit down and think about it. That's why CEQA is so important. But yes, no, it has also traffic patterns and other potential consequences. But there's another piece of CEQA that's very important we haven't talked about yet, and that has to do with piecemealing. That part of this bid actually has lease rights along the waterfront and future development concepts. And as long as that's part of the official bid, trying to write something that crafts an exemption to a piece of that bid is very difficult to do because the details aren't all public. And I just want to say why piecemealing is so important. That if parts of what you're doing now are going to be building into what you're planning to do later, you actually start to create pressure to approve a given project and you eliminate potential mitigation measures for the other projects. That's why we want to focus on what this is. We want to keep it within the CEQA process where you can define the project properly and keep it to what you narrowly want to achieve in the short term.
Okay, we're also finding out that this is what people are concerned about, why they might want the reviews. This is Andrew, who's a windsurfer. He says, I sail out there every day near the Chrissy Field. Will parking at Chrissy Field be restricted during events? Will U.S. Coast Guard restrict access to the course during the races? Will they be able to restrict access to commercial traffic? And how do you suppose that's going to work out? I'm actually not going to have you answer those questions, but I think those are some of the questions that are coming up that people might have concerns with. I'd like to go a little bit back to some of the racing aspects with our sailing experts here. But we've got a call, Ron from Mill Valley. Can you talk a little bit about what your concerns or what your hopes are for this race? Welcome to the forum, Ron.
Yes, thanks very much. Yes, so I know several of your speakers because I was the general manager of San Francisco's first bid for the America's Cup. And most people don't realize the America's Cup is really triathlon of three giant events. First, you have to have or raise hundreds of millions of dollars at this level. And nextly, you have to leverage the money you raise with technology very effectively. Ellison was very good at this, but frankly, almost all winners AC have always been excellent users of technology. And lastly, sailboat race.
Ron, you're going in and out a little bit. You might have to hurry it up with your point or question, please.
To San Francisco, well, every city can benefit from the America's Cup, but San Francisco can actually transform the America's Cup. By providing the large arena that San Francisco Bay is, we could have the America's Cup become the largest live spectator sport in all of history.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there just because we're having some trouble hearing you on your phone. Thanks for the call. Peter Stoneberg from the San Francisco Yacht Club. Is that right? Is this going to be transformative for the Bay, potentially?
It certainly has the potential to be. And again, I go back to Perth and the strong winds and the very exciting racing that they had there. And one of the media elements is you remember when the yellow line, the first down line was introduced into football. That was done by a gentleman named Stan Honey, who BMW Oracle is engaged to bring technology like that to spectating with the America's Cup, to bring innovations like that that make it much more accessible. And then just the natural amphitheater has potential to have people just lining the city front and the bridge and Marin Headlands To see the racing itself.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I frequently talk with people through the course of my job, who visit the Bay to come to race here, and the first thing they always say is that we have trouble because we're just always looking around. Like they're looking at the financial district, and they're looking at Russian Hill, and they're just taking in the whole vista, Angel Island, Alcatraz, and this amphitheater concept, I know it's been beaten to death, but it really would be just a phenomenal place to see it.
A phenomenal place, but we also have to realize that the bay is well used. There's a ferry system there. There are barges that go there. How would this work if there's a race and kind of going about everyday life on San Francisco Bay?
It would work fine. I mean, it's a prescribed period of time, and there's really no reason that everything couldn't work together. I mean, there will be, the races won't be all day long. I mean, you'll basically be looking at a maybe 3 or 4 hour window where the ferries might have to reroute. I mean, there'll be plenty of time ahead of time to get that information out to the public. And I don't see that being a big issue.
I also just want to mention quickly that we did invite BMW Oracle Racing to participate on the show, but they said probably now's not the best time. San Francisco, as well as the other candidate cities in Europe, they said in a statement, is still in the process of preparing its venue hosting bid for the 34th America's Cup. As with any global sporting event, the scale of preparatory work is considerable, and we look forward to receiving each of the city's final proposals when they are complete. So I guess they didn't want to muddy the waters by being here and sounding like they're a booster for one city or another. But it sounds like there's a lot of work to do. Kira, I'm going to let you get the last and quick word in about why San Francisco, again, is moving forward on this and why it's pushing so hard.
Mayor Newsom has a bold vision for showcasing the Bay to the entire world. And the opportunity to bring the jobs and the economic impact is unparalleled. And we're looking forward to continuing to work with the number of clubs that are directly involved, community groups, environmental groups, and really come together around this opportunity.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming here. Michael Endicott from Sierra Club, California. You made a very strong argument of why more reviews might be needed. I'd also like to thank Rob Grant, who's in studio with us, racing editor for Latitude 38, Northern California's largest sailing magazine. Again, Kerry McClellan from the mayor's office, and Peter Stoneberg, rear commodore of the St. Francis Yacht Club. I thank you all for participating in the show. I think there's a lot more that we're going to learn and a lot more political intrigue on this one. I'm Rachel Gordon on Forum. Thanks for joining us, and come back for our second hour if the show's going to be on then. Thank you.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanakos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.